this video that you just watched, where we saw the transformation of that homeless man, Jim Wolfe was his name, was a video where you watch it and you get all inspired and you feel good because this man has gone from looking like he's homeless to someone who looks respectable. And we know that when we watch that, we know that it doesn't change him as a person. But what is exciting about that is that when we see someone who has been able to have a shave and get a haircut and get nice clothes put in, it gives a sense of dignity to him. And it helps us to see him more as a human than just as someone who we would walk past on the street and ignores. It honors him as a man, and it helps us to understand him and love him better. And it's important for us to see that because it shows us the power that appearance and clothes have. When we see what he volunteered for, we see that just the change can not only change how we view him, but also how he views himself because of the clothes. It told us that at the end of the video that after that transformation, which was merely physical, he went out and was encouraged to continue on that transformation, and he was working hard, going to Alcoholics Anonymous and working at being changed so that he lived up to his new appearance. And the whole thing is quite superficial, but it is telling us something about the truth of the fact that what is on the outside of us speaks about what is on the inside of us. Our clothes can say something about who we are. What we wear talks about our identity. Sometimes what we wear on the outside is to portray who we are on the inside. So like with that veteran, it was about saying, we will make him look on the outside with the honor that he deserves because of who he is on the inside. But sometimes we can wear clothes to show who we aren't, to try and portray something other than what is truly real about us. When I was doing a youth activity once, I had to dress up in army gear, so I went out to the shops and I got myself some camo pants and I got myself a green t-shirt and a camo hat, and then I borrowed some boots, and then I walked around wearing all my army clothes. I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm in the army now. I felt really good about myself. I'm like, yeah, I could probably shoot someone now and I could stop some terrorists. I'd be like, I'm really powerful person. I felt really good about myself because, I was wearing the clothes, and the clothes didn't change who I was. It just made me feel different who I was. I would be useless in any kind of fighting. I can hardly fight a cold, let alone a terrorist. So I would be bad wearing those clothes. It kind of changed how I felt about myself. I was pretending to be someone else because of what I was wearing on the outside. What I was wearing on the outside didn't portray who I actually was on the inside. And I tell you all this because in the passage that we're looking at tonight, Paul is talking to the readers and saying to them, you have been taught about a new way of living. You have been given Jesus, and Jesus has changed your identity. And so you need to take off your old self, like an old set of clothes, and put on your new self, like a new set of clothes. You need to put off the old self, put on the new self. And he begins by telling us a bit about what the old self is like. If you look at the beginning there in verse 17, he says to us, when he's talking about the Gentiles, he says that they are in the futility of their thinking, that they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. And what he's saying there is that the life that you have before Jesus comes, you are like a Gentile. That is, he's saying you are someone who is separated from God. And when we are separated from God, we are darkened in our understanding of him. We are ignorant of God's love. And the way that we live, it becomes a life that is at its end point full of, like it says, every kind of impurity and full of greed. And you might say, that doesn't sound like all the people I know who don't love Jesus. Not every non-Christian is out doing every kind of bad thing, being every kind of greediness, doing whatever the heck they want. It's not exactly what, life for every person who doesn't know Jesus is like. But what Paul is saying here is that the end point of rejecting God, if you have no God to tell you this is what is right and this is what is wrong, here are some boundaries for you to live in, the end point of that is that you go and you do whatever you want. You say, yeah, if it makes me happy, I'll do it. I will indulge myself in anything I want, and I will be as greedy as I want. I will live the life I want because I have no God to tell me how to live. And that is where we go on our sinful nature, because our sinful nature says it is all about us. That is our old self talking. Before we knew God, before we committed ourselves to Him, this is what we were like. We were heading that way. But Paul is saying here, but you are different. So you need to live differently, change how you live, change to live in a way that matches up with your identity. Your new identity is that you are someone who is loved by God. You are saved by God. You are now in Christ Jesus. And because you are in Christ Jesus, you've been taught to live like Jesus. And so live like Jesus. Live in a way that reflects your identity. Live in a way that reflects who you are. Take off your old self and put on your new self. And the thing is, when we feel like that, when we get told to do that, sometimes we can hear this and say, but that's really hard. I don't want to take off my old self and put on my new self because my old self is good. I liked my old self. And so we struggle as Christians that we continually go back to our old way of living. We continue to go back to our old life. And when we do that, we are living like hypocrites. We are living wearing clothes that are wrong for who we are. When someone who doesn't know and doesn't love Jesus lives like someone who doesn't know and doesn't love Jesus, then that's fine. That's what they're meant to do. They're just being true to who they are. But when we as Christians live as someone who doesn't know and doesn't love Jesus, we are living a lie. We are wearing a false set of clothes. But we continue to go back to our old way of living. And I think it's because our old way of living, our old sins, they are comfortable. They feel good. They feel easy. I'm wearing some old shoes tonight. I'm going to show you them. These are the shoes that I was wearing a few years ago when I met my wife, Emily, and she hates them. And these shoes are getting old, like the soles are wearing out. At some point, I always get a hole in my shoes just there, but these ones have a nice big hole in the side here. And the thing about these shoes is I loved them. I loved wearing the shoes because they were comfortable. I'd been wearing them for years. They fitted nicely to my feet. They were really easy to get on and to get off. And so I would wear these shoes regularly, and I didn't really want to buy new shoes, even though it had this big hole in the side. The only time it was really bad was when it was raining and the water would get in and I'd get soaking wet feet. Or probably the fact that, you know, everything's wearing out is probably terrible for my posture and is ruining my back, and so I'll have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars in chiropractic bills later because of them. But they're comfortable shoes because they are old and feel good. And one day, Emily turned up at my house and she had two boxes of brand new shoes with her, and she's like, these are for you. And I was like, oh, thanks. And I looked at them and I was like, they're really nice shoes. But I also didn't really want to wear them straight away. I thought maybe I could put it off because these shoes were so comfortable. They were felt so right. I was so used to them. And the other ones would take effort. I'd have to lace them and I'd probably get blisters from them. And I'd walk around with these shiny new shoes on. I'd be like, you've got new shoes on. I'm like, yeah, I do. I was always embarrassed by wearing new shoes. But, you know, wearing old shoes, you know, they're comfortable. And it's like us with sin, you know. We go back to our old sins because they're comfortable. They may not be good for us. They may not be the right thing to do. We may know they're terrible things to do, but they feel right. And in the short term, they feel okay, so we just go back to them. We wear our old selves like an old set of clothes that feels comfortable and right. But we know it's not. We know we've been given a new self, a new life to live. And so Paul is saying to us, you've been taught about Christ. You've been taught how to put on the new self. You got to start doing it. You've got to start living up to your new life. You've got to start living up to the life you've been given, the identity that you have. Sometimes people talk about their life as Christians and people say, you know what, I'm not a really very good Christian. I do bad stuff sometimes. I get things wrong. I'm not a good Christian. But the truth that the Bible tells us is that you are never a good Christian or a bad Christian. You just are a Christian. You either trust in Jesus or you don't. You either are saved by Jesus or you aren't. You are a Christian or you're not. You're not a good or a bad Christian. the way that you are saved is not because you earn God's love. You don't, you know, live up to his standards and then he's like, great, come on in, be my son or be my daughter. You get seen in your sin. You get saved in your sin. You get forgiven in your sin. You get brought into God's family in your sin. You get loved by God. It's all about what God does for you. God saves you. God gives you a new identity, and then you get called to live up to that identity, to put on your new self. Your behavior does not save you. Your salvation gives you your behavior. Because you are saved, you live out that salvation like putting on a new set of clothes, a new life that you've been given in Christ. Now, what Paul does after telling us to do this, he goes on to give a lot of things that we should stop doing, a lot of old self that we should take off and a lot of new self that we should put on. And sometimes we can read these things and see just a list of things to do and not to do. And we can feel like just the stress of, you know, these are, get this right, do this. But the great thing about Christianity is that we do not get forced to obey God. It's not like obey God or God will send you to hell. Obey God or God will stop loving you. It says you love God. God loves you. Now live out that love. Live out your new identity. You are set free from your old self. You're set free. You don't have to do it anymore. I had this reoccurring dream that often comes along for the first, you know, 10 or so years after I left school. This dream would come up and I would dream that I was back at school. And I'd kind of be there and I realized I was in a classroom and there were all the people around me from my class and we were sitting there and I probably wouldn't be in school uniform and I was like, why am I here? And then the teachers would start teaching. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you talking to me? And they'd be like, pay attention. I'd be like, oh, sorry. And then they'd be like, do your work. I'm like, okay. And they'd be like, get ready. You got to do your exam. I'm like, I'm doing an exam. I don't want to do an exam. I'm like, okay. And then at some point in the dream, I'd realize, I'm like, hold on. I'm 26 years old. I don't have to be at school anymore. And then I'd stand up and say, hey, teacher, I don't need to be here anymore. They'd be like, yeah, sit down. I'm like, no, I'm not sitting down. I'm like, they're like, stay where you are. Do your exam. I'm like, no, I'm not doing my exam. I've left school. I've finished my exams. I'm done. I'm out of here. And then I walk out and I feel so good about myself. And then in some dreams, they try and stop me. And then I kick them in the shins and I run away. And then the best dreams are when they chased me with baseball bats, but I escaped. I'm like, stuff you, teachers. And it felt great, felt liberating because I was free. I didn't have to be there anymore. And then after those 10 years, that reoccurring dream, the dream came back again, but wasn't about school anymore. It was about old casual jobs that I had with angry bosses who would be like, clean this, and I'd be there vacuuming for eternity until I realized, hold on, I left this job. I don't have to do this anymore. So I'd throw down the vacuum and be like, stuff you, boss, and I'd walk out of there and it feels so good. I feel great. I was set free. I didn't have to be there anymore. And the great thing is about Christianity is that we are free people. Christianity is not a whole bunch of rules. You get this right, and then God will love you and welcome you into his family. Christianity is saying, you are free. You're free from your old self. You're free from your old life. You don't have to live this way anymore. You are set free to put on the new self, to love and to live and worship God. And so as we approach this next part of the passage, as we look at what Paul asks of us, see it as being free. Being set free from our old way of life to live the life that God calls us to. And so the first thing that we see, if you look in verse 25, it says this. Therefore, as a result of your new identity, because you have been saved by Jesus, because you are putting on the new self, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And Paul is saying here that if you are living out your new self, then you cannot live a life of lies. You must live a truthful life. And chances are all of us lie to one degree or another. Some of us lie when people say, how are you? And you say, oh, I'm doing well. And they say, no, really, how are you? And you say, no, I'm fine. But really, you're not. Some of us lie because, you know, your boss or your teacher or your parents are like, have you done this work? And you're like, you're almost done. You're like, I better get started. Some of us lied because we tell people what they want to hear. Some of us lie just because we lie. We don't know why we lie. We just lie. It's just natural to us. You know, often we lie for all sorts of different reasons. And generally, the main reason I think that we lie is because we're afraid. We're afraid of people seeing who we really are. We're afraid of people knowing what we have done or haven't done. We're afraid of people seeing the real us. We lie because we're afraid. We lie because of what we think the consequences might be for what we have done. And we want to escape that. We want to escape being seen and being known, and so we lie. But the truth is that when we're saved by Jesus, we are free from lying. We are free from falsehood. We are set free because the Bible tells us that God knows us intimately. He knows us better than anyone knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And you know how terrible you think you are. You know how you feel about yourself. You know the worst thing that you have done, and God knows it, and he knows it better than you do. And the Bible tells us that God knows you. He knows the worst you, and he loves you. He loves you and he cares for you and he sent his son to die for you. He knows that you are valuable. The God of all truth says, you are my child and I will never let you go. And even in your worst moments, if God loves you, if God who knows you fully accepts you, then what does anyone else knowing you have against that? The goodness of God frees us from having to lie. The goodness of God sets us free to be people who live in the truth, who are willing to know others and to be known by others, to tell people who we really are, to own up to our mistakes, because we have a God who knows us and loves us and accepts us. And he's greater than the opinions of anybody else. So we don't have to lie. And more than that, we can live in the truth, because it's not just lying. It's about living in truth. Like, I can reverse into your car and I could be like, well, I just won't tell them, and then feel good about myself for not lying to you. But really, I haven't been truthful with you. I can actually share truth with you because I am fully known by God and loved by God. And I live in community with you guys. It says that we are one body. So why would we live in falsehood with each other? If I lie to you, it's like lying to myself. It's just self-defeating. And so we are free from the fear of being known. We are set free to live a life of truth. The next thing that Paul does is he talks then about anger. Have a look at verse 26. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. And some of us might expect that the Bible would say there, don't be angry. Just don't be angry. Anger is bad. But it's not saying that. It says, in your anger, do not sin, because it knows, one, that you are going to get angry. And knows, two, that sometimes that you will get angry about things that are appropriate to get angry about. Now, you might get angry because of, you know, things that people have done to you. You might get angry because you think you deserve something and you don't get it. You might be the person who gets angry when you get cut off in traffic, or get angry because the person who's working at the checkout doesn't move things along fast enough for you. You might get angry because your technology isn't working properly for you. There are all those times of anger, and they're anger that's really not that good anger to have. There's useless anger, there's selfish anger, but there's also righteous anger. You might get angry at the injustice that you see in the world. You might get angry because you know that there are hundreds of thousands, millions of people who are in slavery in the world, and that makes you angry because it's not right. You might get angry because you see the way that we treat people who try and come to this country and seek asylum, and we lock them up like criminals. That might make you angry. And it's right to get angry about that kind of injustice. You might get angry because someone commits injustice against you, something that is not right. It's right to get angry. But in your anger, do not sin, he says. Do not seek to repay evil with evil. Do not seek to retaliate. Do not seek to slander people or gossip. Do not seek to be bitter about people or rage against people. Do not be malicious against people because you are angry. And we are free from having to do that because we have a new identity in Christ. Because when we live out our anger sinfully, we do it because we don't trust God. The Bible tells us that God is going to punish evil, that God has punished evil at the cross in Jesus. And one day, God is going to come back and he's going to set everything right. And one way or another, people are not going to get away with their sin. One way or another, God is going to make sure that sin is paid for. We need to trust that. When we sin in our anger, when we try and get retribution, when we try and punish people for what they have done, we're saying, I don't trust you, God, to deal with sin appropriately. But if we decide that we are going to deal with sin on our own terms, then we're saying, well, whatever God has done for me in Christ, it's not good enough because it's not good enough for what he's done for everyone else. Instead, we need to say, I'm going to trust God to deal with my sin appropriately, and I'm going to trust God to deal with others' sins appropriately. One way or another, sin is going to get dealt with. We get to trust him. We are set free in Jesus to release punishment and love our enemies, pray for our enemies, be kind and compassionate to our enemies, and to not hold on to our sin for a long time, to let it go quickly because we know that we have a limited time here. It's time for us to be generous and gracious and trust that God, who is eternal, will remember and that God will deal with all sin appropriately. We trust God. We are set free from sinful anger. Next, Paul tells us that we need to stop stealing. He says this, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And we hear this one and we're like, that's good. Phew, something that I don't have to worry about because I'm not thieving. It's like, I have not shoplifted for a very long time. I haven't held up a bank. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I'm not going to rob a car tonight. Excellent. I'm feeling okay. And you feel pretty good about yourself, except my guess is that there are some of you here who actually are thieves. Or at very least, you're stealing. If you don't want to categorize yourself as a thief, you are stealing. If you get a cash-in-hand job and you fail to tell the government about what you are earning because you want to keep it yourself and you don't want to pay tax, you're stealing. Or if you're someone who downloads your music or your movies or your TV shows or your games from the internet and don't want to pay for them, you're stealing. And the reason why we steal is because we're afraid. And you're like, I'm not that afraid when I'm torrenting. You should be. You're afraid because one, you're afraid when you keep things which aren't yours, you're afraid that God isn't going to provide for you. When you don't, you know, talk about how much you've earned, you're afraid. You're afraid that God isn't going to give you what you need. And when you steal off the internet, you're afraid you're going to miss out. You're afraid that you're not going to have the same experience that other people are having. You're afraid that you're going to miss out on something really, really good. And you make up excuses like, well, if they didn't make it cost so much or if they brought it to Australia soon enough, like it's your human right to get the entertainment that you need. But all you're doing really is stealing. And what you really need to do is trust God. You're free to trust him. Say, God's going to provide for me. He's going to give me what I need. And God is good enough to supply my needs, even so I can relax and I can miss out on something. I can get a job maybe and earn money and pay for the things I'm taking. And if I pay for those things, then I will have enough. If I pay for this entertainment, then I will have enough. If I pay my taxes, I will have enough, and I'll have enough that I can even give to others. I can be generous. If God has been generous with us, we are free to be generous with others. We don't have to be afraid anymore. We are set free to live a generous life. The next thing Paul tells us is that we need to be careful with our speech. I have a look here. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know, when we use speech, usually what's going on there is where is a power play happening. And when we tear people down with our words, when we insult people, when we call people an idiot, when we bring up people's past mistakes, it's a power play. We're tearing other people down so that we can look big. And what we are set free from is having to do that. Because in our new identity, we know that God has shown us that he loves us. That the God of the universe in Jesus has given his life so that we can be set free. And that if God is willing to die for us, then our value is immense. Our value is eternal. And it's got nothing, how impressive we are has nothing to do with how unimpressive someone else is. We don't have to tear down other people to make ourselves feel good about ourselves. We just have to look at what God has done for us in Jesus to feel good about ourselves, and we can build others up with our words. We can compliment people and say, you're doing great. We can decide to overlook it when someone says something dumb. We can tell people that we love what we're doing. We can thank people. We can build people up with our words because we know that Christ has built us up in himself. We don't have to tear others down. We are set free from that. We need to let our behavior reflect our identity. You know, in all these things, we can look at them and we can go, oh, it's just a list, until we remember once again that it comes from our identity. And our identity comes from our Savior. Paul finishes up the passage that we're looking at in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, he says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, the way that we live these things out is that we look to Jesus. We look at what Jesus has set us free from. We look at the fact that Jesus has lived a life that we can follow, an example that God has given us. That we have been given a new identity to live in. You know, after Jim Wolfe, the guy who we saw in the video before, soon after the video was made, he relapsed and went back to drinking, and he got arrested for trespassing. And he was interviewed when he was in prison about what had happened, and he said this. He said, I have been drinking. I have no excuse for what I do wrong. But as far as appearance from the outside, it matters nothing. Like I say, I am totally a Christian. And what's inside you is what's important to Jesus. Your outside is nothing. And I don't know a lot about this guy's faith, but I do know that he knows something real. That he can teach us something about the truth of Jesus. That we might look at our outside and we might say, it isn't right. We might look at our outside and say, we're getting things wrong. We're stuffing up. We're not living the life we want to. We're putting on our old shoes. We're putting on our old self. But it's not the outside that matters. He knows that even if he stuffs up, which he knows that he did, that he has Jesus who loves him and forgives him and who calls him on once again to start putting on his new self. And we can know that when we stuff up, when we get it wrong, when we put on our old self again because it's comfortable, that Jesus loves us and he forgives us and he calls us on once again to putting on our new self and living out the identity that he has given us. So we are set free from the guilt of our sin to live in this new life. What's on the outside is meant to be a reflection of what's on the inside. And the inside that we have is a new identity that Christ has given us, set free from sin to live in the new life. If you are someone who isn't a Christian, then you are someone who still is living in your old self. And you're given an opportunity to live a new life, a life that is set free from sin, a life that's set free from compulsion of having to do the things that you don't want to do, a life that's set free to live a life of love and to live a life of caring, to live a life that builds others up. You might say, I don't want it all to be about me anymore. I want it to be bigger than this. And this is your chance to say, I'm going to make my life about Jesus. I'm going to make my life about the one who has given his life for me so that I can live. And I challenge you that if you aren't a Christian, then you need to talk to someone and say, tell me more. I want to know this Jesus guy. And if you are a Christian, then the challenge to you is just this. Continue taking off your old self and put on your new self. You have a new identity in Jesus. Let your behavior reflect your salvation. Live out your new self. Don't beat yourself up about the things you've got wrong. Just say, Jesus, help me. Help me to live for you. Help me to live the life that I've been taught in you. And as we do that, as we continue to take off our old self and put on our new self, we will see that Jesus is living in us. How about we stand and we will pray together? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have set us free. You've set us free from sin. You've set us free from our old way of doing things. You've set us free to live the life you call us to. I pray that we will be people who love this new self that you have given us, who love this new identity, that we will live it out. That we will remember that it is not what's on the outside that counts, but what's on the inside. So we will live in a way that helps our outside to match our inside. Please help us to live for you, to love each other, so that you might be seen in how we live. Amen.